Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the words of God together. I pray that everything is going well in your life and the things that you're asking God for, He's delivering them unto you. God is a good God, and He's worthy to be praised. Well, we're in a new month now, and every first of the month, we visit our prayer list, and not just the first of the month, but the first of the month, we take time and call the names out loud, and we pray for those names. But the prayer warrior that compiles the names, she's constantly praying for the names that's on the list. And everyone else is also asked to pray for the people on our prayer list. So with that being said, I want you to know that tonight's lesson is coming from the book of Romans, and we're going to be in the 8th chapter. We're going to be expounding on the verses in that chapter. I ask that everyone read the whole chapter, but for the scriptures that we're going to expound on is verses 1 through 5. I pray you had a chance to read the 8th chapter of Romans because it's a powerful word from God. When Paul was teaching and he wrote that letter to the Romans, and there were Christians in Rome at this time that had established even a church, because you know the Romans was their oppressors and the Romans were Gentiles. They were not Jews. So at this time, I'm going to play a song. And we're going to come back and we're going to explore the words of God together.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I care for you, and sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh, when you cry.
I'm right.
Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know you're right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day.
Like to listen to that song because it's such a reminder. You know, many times in our lives we be going through life and we be sometimes feeling distance from God. But God said in his word he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this song just came back to reinforce to let us know even when we can't hear his voice, we have to just trust his plan because he's God and he understands. I want to let you know tonight that nothing that you're going through, first of all, has not ever happened before. And second of all, God knows right where you are. He knows what you need, and he's right there with you. So we have to keep that in mind because that's how we could enter into rest. That's how we enter into peace. That's how we just could hold on to the confession of our faith because God is with us. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So at this time, I'm going to open the mic for Sister Pam, our prayer warrior, the one who compiles our list for people who have called in for prayer. I received a call late this afternoon from a man that was in New York, and he called the prayer line and asked for prayer for a situation. And I was able to call Sister Pam and actually add it on to the list for tonight. And that person is on there. So listen as she comes and pray for that situation because they called our prayer line. Sister Pam?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Before I call out the prayer list, I'd just like to say that just thanking God for tonight, first of all. And I know that a lot of us that's on the prayer line, we might be a little shy sometime, and we don't like to talk. And maybe sometime that God put it on your heart to say something or to press the button, and then we get that little inner mind that we change and say, oh, I'm not going to say nothing. I might not say the right thing, might say the wrong thing. But there is no right or there is no wrong thing to say. Every Wednesday night, Sister Diane brings this message to us so powerful and so strong that the Holy Spirit guides her to give, to deliver to us, that it may save some soul or may help somebody. So tonight I just want to ask if, you know, just a little request or whatever, if you feel like saying something, if you just want to press the button and just say your name, you know, like, my name is Whitney and I'm calling in from Slidell and I just want to say hello to everybody. My name is such and such and I'm calling from Baton Rouge and I just want to thank you for the message. It ain't have to be long and fancy and outdrawn. Just let us know that you're there. Just let Sister Diane know that you're there and you're listening. And, you know, you're just grateful for the word, to, you know, that she brings every Wednesday night. All right. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane Dustin and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Gladys Phillips, the Martin family, Sister Janice and family, Tammy Ditto, Verlene Garrett, Jacqueline Nichols, Maddie Lala and family, Javonda Caples, Darrett Olive, Tashia Kane, Sharon, Emma Carr and family, Samantha Merkendale, and there's a praise report about Samantha. She had the surgery and it was a success, so I'll be removing her from the prayer line. And the last person is Shamika Alexander, calling in from New York. Oh, Sister Gladys Phillips, I'm sorry, she passed away, so I'll have to take that name off the prayer list also. Father, we thank you right now for life. Thanking you for allowing us to see another day, another Wednesday night Bible study. Father, we thank you for the shelter that you give us. We thank you for the food that's on our table that you prepare for us. We thank you for the clothes that you put on our body each and every day. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing for us, for all that you've done and all that you're still to do. We thank you, Father, for your only begotten Son, Jesus, who bled, suffered, and died on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. We pray, Lord, that you continue blessing her with your word that you bring, that she brings forth to us each and every Wednesday night. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and thank God.
I thank you so much, Sister Pam. And I thank you for the comment that you made that the people can press the button, you know, because it's encouraging just to hear you guys' voice sometime because, you know, I'm on the other end. Some of you, I've never even heard your voice, and I don't know your face. But I do understand that, you know, everybody don't feel comfortable. So I thank you, Sister Pam, and
you're welcome.
We're going to go ahead into the lesson. And I pray that God continue to bless you for your faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen. Our lesson tonight, as I said, it's coming out of the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. And the title of the lesson is, God is not looking for perfection. I need to let you know that tonight. He's not looking for perfection, but he's looking for your direction. Which way are you going, and what's your desires, and what's the will of your heart towards God, the direction you're going into? And again, we're in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. So I decided to use a background on the Romans, the Roman Empire. You see, one of the most important players in the first century drama was the Romans. You see, in 63 BC, they first thing they did was they went to subdue the Jews. You see, and their first stop was the Jewish most sacred building, the temple. They walked straight into the second court, which was forbidden by Gentiles. You remember the court had the outer court where the Gentiles was, then they had the inner court where the people, the Jewish people went, and then they had another court, and then they had the most high, holiest of holiest courts was no one can enter, could enter that except the high priest. But this is what the Romans did when they came on the scene and they went to Jerusalem. You see, the Gentiles has once again put their foot on the necks of the Jewish people. Except for a period of around 100 years, such has been the condition of God's chosen people for over 400 years. Oppression, persecution. You know, if you look at the history of it, first came the Babylonians. You know, they was captured by the Babylonians and stayed in bondage for all of that time. Then it was the Persians, and then it was the Greeks. And y'all know the story of the Egyptians. You know, they was in Egypt for all of those years under the oppression of the kings. And then it was Cyrenian. And now here comes the Romans. I don't know if you guys realize that the chosen people, even though they was God's chosen people, and you hear many stories about how the battles was won when they were fighting. But you know, if you really look at history and you understand what was written, it was many times that they were just blatantly disrespectful and not obeying God's will. And whenever God removed his hand from above them or around them, they were sometime captured and sometime destroyed. And then they became oppressed and they had burdens placed on them. You see, when the Romans came, they came and they came in Jerusalem, but the people in Jerusalem wasn't really slaves, made slaves, but they suffered a lot of oppression. You see, because the Romans came in, they brought high taxes, paganism, and almost unimaginable brutality. You see, the burdens and humiliation Rome placed on the common man made life unbearable. You see, God allowed this to happen. And many times he orchestrated. You know, if you really study the Bible and many lessons we did, you might not remember when God told them if they didn't get it right, that he would allow the Babylonians to come in. Or he would allow the Persians to come in. So it was all for their disobedience. You see, Rome's promise was if the nations would just submit to Caesar, Rome would bring peace and prosperity to the whole world. However, Roman peace came through brutal force and absolute domination. And they feared Rome, but not as much for the sword or the weapon, but for the Roman cross. Romans was big in crucifixion. You know, they didn't invent it, but they perfected it, and they used it often. We know crucifixion was the most painful and humiliating death possible. You see, I don't know if you guys remember, but when we studied the 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, we could see God was not speaking to the people at that time. There was no prophets other than false prophets. There was no leaders. They weren't anything like that. But you could see the handprint of God with everything that he was doing. He was establishing everything and putting everything in place, because when the New Testament would open up, he would have things that he wanted in the directions he wanted them to go. And he used the Romans. You see, the Romans brought with them taxes and violence and paganism, but the Romans was also the one that built highways. You see, them same highways the disciples was able to use to go spread the word of God. You know, they made bridges that crossed over valleys, which made it easier to get from one place to another. The Romans also brought the Latin language. And you got to remember, God wanted one language, because you see, when everybody was going to be going everywhere and talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, if they had a common language, they would understand better. See, God uses everything he created for his glory and his good. And even though the Romans were who they were, God still got what he wanted from them. And when God gets tired, he know how to move. Anything, anybody, for any reason, in any season, because he's God. You see, Roman also brought the legal government system. And they brought the Roman alphabet. You know, that's the world's most widespread writing system. God used the Romans for part of his plan. So when you got some time, look at the Romans. This is the book of Romans. We know the Romans had, you know, the Israelites under oppression for a long time, because when Jesus came, the people were so happy because they thought that Jesus would come and be their king and conquer the Romans who had oppressed them for so long. When Jesus explained, "This is not my kingdom. I come to do the will of the Father, and I'm leaving." And that's when they decide to come up with anything and everything to crucify him. Because the week before he was crucified, he rode through town and they had laid out palms and they had laid out their coats for the donkey that he was riding on, and they was hollering, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and praising him. And the next week they were saying, "Kill him." So we have to really understand all of God's plan to understand his plan for us. So we're going to go into the scriptures now. And Romans 8 and 1 say, "There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now listen to what the scripture says. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit." You see, when we take a good look at this scripture, the word condemnation should catch your attention. You see, the Bible speaks so much of condemnation because of sin, because of the sins of mankind. And there's a scripture that says, "Your iniquities," which are your sins, "have made a separation between you and your God." When sin entered the world, it separated us. "And your sins has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." That's what the scripture says. You see, in the Bible, the word condemnation is synonymous to the word damnation, judgment, punishment, destruction, and it usually is in reference to not a favorable verdict. You see, in its strongest sense, condemnation means the eternal damnation to all those who never accepted his son by rejecting with disobedience to the will of God. And I went and looked up the will of God, and I'm in 1 Timothy 2:4-6. 1 Timothy 2:4-6 speaks to the will of God when it says, who will that all men be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? You see, it's God's will that all sorts of men be saved. It's God's intention after sin came into the world. And that's why he had a master plan using his greatest riches, which is his son, to bring about salvation. You see, God knew we wouldn't or couldn't be perfect. Even before and after sin entered the world. See, what I'm saying before, even before Adam and Eve was created, you know, God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And you have to look at it with clear eyes to know that everything God did and created, you, me, the world, the trees, the water, the sea, it was in him before the foundation of the world. And by God being omniscient, he knew everything you would do. He knew what Adam would do. He knew what Eve would do. And when I say he had a plan for our redemption before sin entered the world, because before sin entered, he already knew that it would. I hope that clears something up for somebody. You see, he knew it. And that's why I can stand here tonight and say it with confidence that God is not looking for your perfection, but your direction. You see, God has a master plan, and his divine will is to redeem his people from the penalty of sin, which is death. And he accomplished it through his son. Because you see, if we look at John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God did. And the scripture goes on, because many times we don't read the other part. So John 3:16 say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But behind that verse 17 said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if you go a little bit further to 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So I come to tell you tonight, the scripture started off, there's no condemnation. This scripture is backing it up. They say, he that believed on him is not condemned. You're not condemned, people. So stop condemning yourself. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, if you are in Christ, as the scripture says, there's no condemnation, which means no penalties to be paid. And your verdict has been declared and established. and will last all the way through eternity. Your verdict is not guilty. You see, the blessed promise of no condemnation is only extended to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, your sins were all taken away by the blood of Jesus. And when God sees you now, he no longer sees your sin, but he sees you as righteous. Because when you accepted Christ, who came to bridge the gap, because we were separated from God, when you accepted Christ, God took his package of righteousness and he extended it towards you. So that's how you became the righteousness of God. That's how you are made perfect. That's how there is now no condemnation. And when God looks at you, he's not, you know, sitting around waiting for you to commit a sin so he could say, dot, 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 or I got you now, I look at you now. When God looks at you, he only sees his son. He's not taking talents. Why would he? But we got to remember, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But you got to remember that the consequences of any sins that you commit, since there's no condemnation, God doesn't keep record of the sin, and he's not so concerned with that, but the consequences of those sins belong to you. And if we look at the other scriptures, it's 2, 3, 4, 5. They say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he sent him for sin. His sin, he sent his son. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. What Jesus did, he condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, once we accept Christ, we receive the Spirit of life. And what the Spirit of life living inside of us does, it canceled out the law of sin and death. How? First of all, we became new creatures when we received the Spirit of Christ living inside of us, leading and guiding us to righteousness. You see, the objective work of God in Christ, the work that God did in and through Christ, is that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. He said, all the laws and the prophets. What do that mean? He said, all the laws that Moses gave, all of the prophecy that all the prophets gave, he said right here in this scripture, they say the objective work of God in Christ is that the righteous requirement of the law be fulfilled. Jesus we fulfill the requirements that the law was still waiting to put upon us because of the sin. Jesus canceled that out because he became the sin. He took on the sin. He was born in flesh. And he fulfilled it. And now there is no condemnation. But I want to let you know, your heart, your mind, and your spirit has been changed. Not your flesh. That's why flesh still want what flesh wants. Flesh does what flesh does. Come on now. That's why when Jesus comes back, he's going to take off this flesh. If you die before he come back, you're going to lose the flesh in the grave. But if Jesus come and we standing in the flesh, he's going to take us up and he's going to take off this corruptible body, which is the flesh, corrupt, and put us on an incorruptible body. But our heart, our mind, and our spirit has been changed, which helps us through all temptations. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But I just want to let you know, but God is faithful. This scripture I'm still reading, y'all. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And even if the temptation get the best for you, get the best of you, he said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. See, that's the scripture that backs that up when he say, I'm working all things out together for your good. God is covering us in our front, our sides, and our back. God has put in place everything that we would ever need to live a righteous life. There's no shorts in the things of God. And remember, God is a God of enoughness. You remember the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein. You see, in the scripture let us know that the law was weak. It was temporal. And it could never accomplish the divine, perfect design of God's will for the redemption of his people. The law. No matter how you took and twisted, and you know, it didn't have the power to change from the inside to the outside. The law could never take away your sins. It could only cover it with the sacrifices that was attached to the sins. But oh, Jesus came sinless, without spots and blemishes. God needed a man to be sacrificed for man. God didn't even want mankind to be burdened with all of the rules and regulations and all of the sacrificing over and over and over again and again and again. He made a perfect sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus, when he said, it is finished, he had paid the price. All debts were paid. We are now not guilty. And there is no condemnation for what you have done, what you might do today, and even those things you do tomorrow. And you might say, Sister Diane, that's such an easy way out. You telling me I could do anything I want and still be saved. But when you think about it, if it do seem easy, it might be easy to you, but Christ paid the price, and it wasn't as easy for him. But because of love, and if somebody loves you like that, you should want to do things that please them. You should want to give them the honor that's due them. You should want to obey them if they have rules and say, this is what I did and this is what I need you to do. But I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force you to read the word so you could grow in grace and in knowledge. I'm not going to force you to give because I freely gave. Come on, y'all. And now we see why God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh for the sins, our sins, your sins, the sins of the world. So there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Yes, this is true. Your sins will not condemn you. Once saved, always saved. If you got saved and really are in Christ, you can't be condemned, and you're saved, you're saved. And when the Spirit of life came in with you, it sealed your soul to the day of redemption. You can't unseal yourself. And God, in the book of Revelation, said the only one can remove the seal is Jesus Christ. And he'll do that when he come back and bring us and present us to the Father. You will not be condemned, but there will be consequences. The scriptures say no condemnation, but it also let us know how we should walk after the things of the Spirit, which are the things of God. And that's the things that God has established in his word, and not after the flesh, which is the things of the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, God wants us to rest in the fact that there is no condemnation. He don't want you walking around wondering if you're saved today, make a mistake, you're not saved, trying to get saved again. You know, just going back like they did with the sacrifices, going to the temple and sacrificing each year because they had made other sins. God say, what my son done was sufficient. You know, even when God told Paul, I could say it tonight for this particular setting, he say, my grace is sufficient. And Paul, he told Paul that, but he was saying his grace is sufficient for everything. His grace is sufficient to save you. His grace is sufficient to pick you up. His grace is sufficient to turn you around. His grace is sufficient to place your feet on solid ground. His faith is sufficient to wipe the tears from your eyes. His faith is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. God has forgiven us. But we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Many believe that some of the things that they've done in the past can't possibly be forgiven. Come to tell you tonight, no condemnation. And God never allow your past to dictate your future anyway. There are no graduating classes in the law of the Spirit of Christ. It's a life long obligation. The race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. You don't learn a few words and you at the plateau and believe you more holy than everybody in the world, because the Bible says we all fall short. You see, Paul in Philippians 3:13 said, "Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth into those things which are before." Paul, who wrote 13 books in the Bible, say he know he haven't apprehended. So what about us? Then goes on to say, Paul again in Philippians says, he said, "I press," Philippians 3:13, 14, and 20 through 21. He said, "I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." And 15 said, "Let us therefore be as many be perfect." See, that's when people say we can't be perfect, and some people teach a doctrine of you could be perfect because you could do everything right. No, you can't. But we are made perfect by the righteousness of God. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any, thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Just keep holding on. Keep pressing. You're going to be getting things revealed to you more and more. The more you put in it, the more will be revealed to you. You know, it's always God's will. He wants the word of God to accomplish what it set out to do. But you got to cooperate. And the scriptures say even more will be revealed unto us. But it depends on you. Again, I say, yes, no condemnation, but we must continue to press. And how he wants us to press? Well, I went to Matthew 6:33-34. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek God first, not the world. Seek God first, not the world. And look what it goes on to say. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought in itself." God is trying to introduce us to rest. Yes, we're going to rest in eternity, but he said, "I got rest right here for you now on earth in the kingdom of God." You're not condemned. Why are you acting like it? Your salvation is secured, and victory is yours. So if you seek ye first, you should be able to rest, which is God's will for his children. Yes, no condemnation, but we should be striving to be as Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." And look what the scripture says then, "which is your reasonable service." Are you at least doing your reasonable service? Some people say, "How do I present, excuse, my body as a living sacrifice?" With obedience. And it goes on in verse 2, say, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's taking on what the scripture in the second verse said, the spirit of life which is in Christ. You know, we got the spirit of life which is in Christ, but plenty of us act like we still dealing with our old nature. That we're not a new creature. "And be not conformed to this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, no condemnation should allow you to thank God for what you have and trust him for what you need. Because when you really understand no condemnation, you understand all that he has done for you. And you begin to realize that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you believe that he has your best interest at heart. And you could understand how he loved you first. And you could understand what he gave up for you. And then you can begin to rest. Yes, no condemnation. But what are you doing with all that he has given you? Yes, no condemnation. But God say, I created you for my glory. And it brought me to Matthew 5:6. And it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. And if you do that, he told us in the Bible that he'll be able to say, thy good and faithful servant, well done, which should be your goal. Because we all are living in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. And only those things done for Christ will last. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have anything they would like to add, anything they would like to say, you could press the 1 button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Words of encouragement. You want to add someone to the prayer list? You want to give some insight on the lesson? You want to give a praise report? You may press the 1 button on your phone at this time. Call your number is 504-430. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Minister Diane. I just want to say that Sister Pam really hit home this afternoon. I agree with every word she said. I'm one of those people who listen weekly and don't call in. But I would just like to say I thank God for you. I pray for our Bible study on Wednesday. It has been such a help to me. It has encouraged me. You have encouraged me to seek God's word more and to try to live more the way God wants me to. And I just want to encourage you to keep letting God use you. Continue to feed us while we feed others that's not listening to the program. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Sister Joyce Brown. Thank you so much for giving those words of encouragement. You know, God has given me this assignment, and I'm going to do it, you know, till he tell me not to, till I die. But, you know, sometimes it's nice when I can hear someone's voice over the airwaves. So I thank you for that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For the encouragement. Anyone else would like to say anything? If no one else would like to say anything, Sister Minister Elyria Mack is on the phone, and I'm going to press her button and ask us to, she could give comments or she could come any way she wants. But I want her to close us out with prayer. So, Sister Mackie?
Yes, I'm here. I was listening. I thought of, I thought of the scripture when God said, when the scripture said, the love of God constrains us. God keeps us. All we have to do is begin to walk after the Spirit. And in Galatians, it talks about the lust of the flesh, how to put off what are the works of the flesh, and what's the fruit of the Spirit. But God, as you said in the scripture, there is no temptation that's known unto man where God won't give us a way to escape the temptation. And the Bible says we sin when we turn away to our own lust and entice. Because if we be led by the Spirit, God, the love of God will keep us. It will constrain us. But I was blessed on tonight because there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the key. We got to learn how to walk after the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And for those of us that's confused about the Spirit, when we always holler about we should have listened to our first mind, no, we should have listened to what the Spirit said. It's not our mind, it's the Spirit leading us. And I just ask that everybody would just be encouraged, because we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I thought of a song, "There is a place where the righteous may come. There is a place where sinners may run. A special place to take hold of our sins, a place where we can start over again. Though millions have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you." God, we just thank you for tonight, oh God. We thank you for Minister Diane, oh God, that she just began to keep on keeping on, that you would have your way in her life, oh God, and you would continue to enlighten her, Lord. God, because we thank you, Lord God. We want to do as your words say, oh God. God, we want to praise your name, oh God. We want to magnify you. We want to glorify you. We want to give you the honor and the praise for what you have done in our lives. Oh God, we lift up those that have lost loved ones, oh God, this week. Those that have to bury loved ones, we lift them up, God, because we know that you're able to bind up the broken heart. God, you're able to give peace that passes all understanding. God, we lift up everyone that's on the prayer list, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because your word declares that you call those things that be not as though they were, and you heal all manner of sickness and diseases. God, we thank you, Lord God, for moving on our behalf, because you said in your word, if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desires of our heart. And our heart desires is to see that our family members be saved, oh God. Our heart desires is to see that the body of Christ will continue to mature and grow, Lord. God, we just thank you for having your way in our lives. We realize that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people, oh God. We are a chosen generation. We've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And for that, we just thank you, Lord. And we just want to show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, oh God. God, we thank you because your word said, beloved, above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So we thank you for our soul prospering this evening, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us health, oh God. God, even though we know that this outer man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. So we thank you for renewing the inner man, oh God. We just thank you, Lord God. And we lift up Minister Diane and her whole family to you, Lord. We lift up her son and her daughter and her grandson to you, Lord, that you would have your way in their lives, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord God, in their lives. God, we thank you, Lord God, for everyone that's on the line tonight, Lord, those that wanted to get on and couldn't get on. We thank you for those that listening, oh God, by the computers, oh God, on the airways, oh God. We just thank you. We lift up Jerusalem to you and Israel, Lord. We just thank you, Lord God. We lift up this United States of America to you, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you because we can stand on your promises, because all your promises, they are yea And they are amen. And we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And it is in Jesus' name that I call it all done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy of the honor, the praise, and the glory. You're just worthy, worthy, worthy. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord God. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, amen,
amen. Amen. And we really have like a minute or so left, but what I'm going to do is, and it's so helpful, like Sister Elyria brought something to mind, and I have a minute and I'm going to use it. When we was talking about the spirit of life in Jesus Christ and the spirit that came and lived and dwelled within us with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit brought, when she said Galatians, I think it's Galatians 5 and 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit with no S on it because God wants all these nine virtues to work in us at one time. But I'm going to leave you tonight with a list of them again because it's always good to refresh. It's always good to bring it to our forefront. But the fruit of the Spirit, the things that should be operating in us that we was talking about, not walking after the flesh, but if we walk after the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's our program tonight. God loves you, and so do I. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And as I close on tonight with this benediction from St. Peter, it is my desire and my prayer that we continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our program for tonight. God be with you till we meet again. Good night.